All right. My name is Robert Reed. It's May 1st. I'm 21 years old, and I'm in New Ulm, Minnesota. I'm speaking with Braxton Alexander, and he is 20 years old. If you want to just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Braxton Alexander, 20 years old, a junior at Martin Luther College.
All right. So, first of all, I'd like to ask you to tell me about where you grew up and also what your childhood was like.
Well, for the first 9 years of my life, I grew up in St. Lucia. It's a tiny Caribbean island. My childhood there, I went to private school from since kindergarten all the way up till third or fourth grade. And once I was nine, I moved to New York City. And growing up in the city was a lot different. There in New York, I went to public school from fourth grade all the way till eighth grade. That was interesting. Kind of going to school by myself at a young age, not like riding the bus or anything, using public transportation. And my school was really packed, just filled with kids. But yeah.
Could you tell me a bit about what the environment was like in St. Lucia? How was school there like?
For school, for me, in the private school setting, it was actually a very rigorous curriculum. When I was in private school in St. Lucia, I took two extra languages on top of English. I took Spanish and French, from since first grade, I believe I took those languages. And I remember when I moved to New York. I was in fourth grade again, and all the stuff that we were learning, for the most part, I already knew, like all the math, English stuff, social studies, I was kind of behind on because America versus St. Lucia was a big difference. But I knew everything up until about fifth and sixth grade. Then I was starting to learn new stuff, and that was kind of interesting to me.
All right, interesting. Could you tell me perhaps some of your most vivid memories from school, either in St. Lucia or New York?
One of my biggest memories from school in St. Lucia was I remember, so for lunch, we would have, like, there was a kitchen that was in a separate building, so we'd have to walk up to the kitchen. But we walked up to, like, a little door that the top part was out, and we'd just stand there, pay money, and then pick something off the menu, and then eat, go back to the classroom and eat. And that was really interesting to me, where lunch in America is in a cafeteria setting, like you grab your lunch from the line and sit down and stuff. So that was different. And I remember in New York, a big thing that was really surprising to me were all the different drills that we had to go through, like tornado drills and all that stuff, fire drills, and like worst case scenario, like a shooter drill and stuff like that. And that stuff is surprising to me because I don't remember doing anything like that in St. Lucia. And I remember in St. Lucia, every morning, like all of us together, we'd stand in an assembly and then we'd say the national anthem of St. Lucia.
Sure. All right. So I'm just wondering which sort of home town or city or island, whichever one it is, do you identify more with as your cultural identity, sort of?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a tough question. Yeah, that's really tough because I'm still, even though, so now I've spent more of my life in America, but it's like 4 of those years in New York, 4 of those years in Minnesota, I mean in Wisconsin, and now 3 of those years in Minnesota, really. So like, and then my mom and like my uncle and family that I have up here still have that Caribbean culture in them. So when I'm home, I get a lot of that Caribbean culture, but when I'm at school, then I have more of that Americanized, either Wisconsin or Minnesotan culture. And like during the summers, I spend a lot of my time in South Carolina. So then I get a whole dynamic of the Southern culture. So I consider myself, I say I'm island born, city raised, and Southern hospitality. Like I'm just kind of like the melting pot of it all, which is funny because I spend a lot of my time in New York. So I've definitely Americanized more, but I'd say I have both or all three of those cultures in me just because of the environments that I'm in at different times of the year, pretty much.
All right, that's really cool to hear, actually. So next, I'd like to ask, when you were younger, what did you imagine your job would be when you grew up?
When I was younger, I really wanted to be a secret agent or a spy or something like that. Like I remember before, like when I was really young, I know I always wanted to be a secret agent spy, and then it became like I wanted to be like a police officer but still a spy, and then I really wanted to be a secret agent, and then I really got into acting and like theater stuff, so I was pursuing that like kind of in middle school age, but I still wanted to be a spy, and for some reason I just thought like being a spy would be a really cool job to have and get like secret gadgets and stuff, so I was kind of really obsessed with that for a lot of my childhood, and then I kind of settled to be a teacher.
All right, so could you tell me a bit more about your decision to be a teacher, how that sort of played out?
That's actually really like kind of a funny story. So, 8th grade was going around, and that's when I was really pursuing acting. So I did a lot of tryouts for performing arts high schools in New York City, and I got into a couple of them. I was really excited, but like during the summertime-ish, my pastor brought up prep, Luther Prep High School, and my mom thought that would be a really good idea for me to attend, so got me enrolled in everything. And then, so I went to prep instead of a performing arts high school in New York. And like, went through prep, and like, prep talks about MLC a lot, and we like get opportunities to hear people speak about MLC and whatnot. And I didn't really know what I was going to do. And then, my senior year, I got an opportunity to be able to come to MLC through some scholarship stuff. So I figured, all right, I'd like to go to MLC. And I knew that I've always wanted to work with kids, younger kids especially. So that kind of with the options and stuff and the experiences I had, I figured that early childhood education would probably be the best bet for me to enter, and that way I am working with kids and I'm also able to talk to them about being about Jesus and whatnot.
So that actually leads really well into my next question, because I'm going to ask, how have your religious beliefs sort of impacted your life?
Oh yeah. Ever since I've born, my family's been in a Welsh church. When my mom was younger, she was in a Catholic church, I believe, but she grew older and then decided to become Wells and become a Wells member. So then I grew up in a Welsh church, in St. Lucia and in New York. So honestly, if I wasn't Wells, I would not have went to prep and I would not have went to MLC. And who knows what I might have become, the spy that I've always wanted to be when I was a child. So definitely, I mean, if I didn't believe in what I believe and went to the Welsh Church, I wouldn't be where I am today, honestly.
Cool. And then, do you feel that your cultural identity affected or influenced your religious beliefs, or would you say that that wasn't really a factor at all?
I think in St. Lucia, it probably didn't really have that big of an impact on me down there, but I feel like in New York, it was big for us because there's a lot of oppression of different diversities and all different cultures in New York. So having a church body that's welcoming and open, open-armed and understanding is really big for me and for my family as well, my mom and sisters and stepdad and stuff. So like us being able to have a family, a church family like that, that's understanding and there for us and willing to talk to us about all different types of stuff is really good for us. So I think in that way, it had an impact on my religious beliefs and stuff.
Cool. And then sort of, I know you just said that you received a lot of support from your church in New York, and this question sort of goes the other direction though. So have you ever felt discriminated against by the religious institutions that you were a part of, or would you say that that hasn't been the case?
Yeah, I can't think of a time or an incident or anything that's happened when I felt discriminated by anyone in the church, in the Wells, or anything like that. It's all been pretty good. I personally haven't had any negative experiences with that.
Well, that is good to hear. So sort of a more fun question then. What's your favorite religious holiday?
Well, my favorite holiday of all time is Christmas. So it happens to also be a religious holiday because it's the birth of Christ. Yeah, Christmas time, like, I think it'd be perfect if I lived in a place where it only snowed on Christmas morning and then all the snow disappeared the next day, because a white Christmas with Christmas music and Christmas food is just like perfect. I don't know, that's the perfect time of year to me.
Do you want to tell me a bit about how your family celebrates Christmas?
Oh yeah. So in St. Lucia for Christmas, it's always been like a big family thing, big family thing. So we'd have Christmas Eve service. We'd go to that, come home, and then the church in St. Lucia had a really early in the morning Christmas service. So then we'd wake up, open some gifts, and then go to the Christmas service. And then that was also really fun. The church dynamic down in the islands is like the best I've ever had. Like, I've had really good fellowship here in the States, but in St. Lucia, it's just like everyone's a big, happy family and everyone knows everyone. Like, it's a small island and it's a smaller congregation compared to like kind of some congregations here in the States. So that's easier for it to happen. But that's also just kind of like the culture down in the islands. Everyone's super friendly. Everyone's pretty much close enough to be family, and it's really good. Like, yeah, there's some downs to it, but for the most part, like, island living is pretty fun. And now in New York, or Virginia that I live in now, my family, what we do is we would stay up. We go to Christmas Eve service, and we stay up really late. We stay up past midnight, and then we all say Merry Christmas, open our stockings, open a few gifts, like one or two, and then go to bed, go to the Christmas service, or open gifts, and then go to the Christmas service, and then just kind of feast all day on Christmas. That's how my family does it.
Fun. So you mentioned the size of the congregation down in St. Lucia. Could you give me some perspective? What is the, like, relative number of people in the congregation, in the Wells congregation in St. Lucia, and also what is the relative population of the island?
That's good. I think I remember when I was down there, The population was probably around 100 or so, around 100 or so people. Like obviously not all of those people came in every service, but like during like big like church things, I know that there'd be about 100 or so people there. And the population of St. Lucia, that's a good question. I want to say it's only a couple thousand. Like it's not that big, at least from what I remember. It's been a while since I've looked into that. And like even my congregation in New York was a decently small size. It was also a ministry, what's it called? Those churches overseas. A
Mission.
missionary, a missionary church. So the congregation size is also pretty small. I'd say maybe about 100 or so people in that congregation as well. But I think it's been growing ever since like through high school and college now for both places actually.
All right. And then this is my last question, actually. So tell me what people have had the largest influence on your life thus far?
People have said the biggest impact on my life. I've had some one of my grade school teachers, her name was Miss Duncan. She had a pretty big impact on my life just because she was always the one that's always like, "Oh, Braxton, like you could do better than this. Like you need to keep putting the foot forward," especially when I didn't want to like do any schoolwork. She's the one that always like told me to do better, which I thought was really good, really nice of her and whatnot. And I'd also say like my pastor in New York, Pastor Dan Olson, he was the one that brought up prep in the first place. So if I didn't go to prep, then I wouldn't have went to MLC. So like that was all that's a big impact on my life. And like he was just a really cool pastor and a close pastor with my family. So yeah, I'd say those two people for sure. Big impacts in my life.
All right. That's all I've got. So thanks for your time. Thanks for letting me interview you.
No problem, Rob.
All right.